One, two, three, four.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
I am a professional writer and your resident lyricist.
And I'm a professional musician and your resident composer. And together
we toss up a new song each episode.
Using a random music genre.
And a random topic.
That's right, using our proprietary, patented, poetic, industrial-strength salad spinner, we randomize over 500 music genres.
And hit the random article button on Wikipedia to get our topics.
What did we do last time, Shannon?
Oh my god, I just panicked. I didn't think about it.
I love how we always forget, like, what this intro entails. Because I always panic and I'm like, oh shoot, what's my list of P words? Let me pull that up as I'm talking. Yeah. Like,
god, it was 80s.
It was 80s.
It was like an 80s thing. And the song was called Arbitrary Necessary.
That's right.
And hold on.
Here, I'll give you some like word associations.
Okay.
First word, brand.
Spanking.
Yep, it was spanking music.
Brand spanking new. You said it was like.
I thought you were going to say like the correct word.
What? The correct word after brand?
Yeah, you got there eventually.
Oh. No, okay, all right. I'm putting a stop to my own incompetence. Second, it was a new wave
there
song.
There you go. Yeah, second word I was going to say, surfing.
Ah, I see what you're doing. Brand new surfing wave. Got it. Okay, it was a new wave song about arbitrary units of measure.
Yes.
Which apparently we kind of got wrong anyway, as I received some very long voice notes from our dear friend Todd the Linguist trying to explain. And I was like, it's fine.
Whatever. He's a linguist, not a scientist. I don't believe him.
Linguistics is a it's sometimes philosophy and sometimes science, right?
Semantics.
See, don't say this because then I get the voice memos.
Yeah, why isn't Todd calling me out? Why is he putting this on you?
Todd, take this one up with Scott, okay?
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm ready.
Great. Great.
This week, we're going to do something a little bit different.
Yeah, we only have a short period of time to record, so we're trying to do something a little fast-moving and fun that still plays off of our strengths, which are songwriting and being stupid.
So we've already used, like, you know, side salad and express salad and all this stuff. So I was trying to think of, like, what's another good, like, salad-related thing to call this episode, and I think I've come up with it. This episode is called, Could I Taste That Dressing? Because we're just giving you a little taste before you commit to the full thing.
I see. You couldn't do, like, sampler salad or salad bites or...
Those aren't things.
But what is Can I Taste That Dressing?
That's well, it's not a like thing. If you're at like a Just Salad or a Chopped or something and they're making your salad and you're like, can I taste that dressing before they put it on?
Do you do that? Do you taste the dressings?
You don't taste your dressings?
I pick the one that sounds like I will like it. And then if I don't, next time I don't get it anymore.
But you could just taste it and then know for sure.
What do they give you the dressing on to taste it?
They give you like a little cup like at Hale and Hardy when you get a soup sample. And you just like dip your finger in it.
I see. Okay. So it's like a little ketchup cup kind of.
Yeah. And what did you expect? A petite salad? Like a sample salad?
No. I expected a like little plastic spoon like Baskin Robbins or something.
Or like that just, like, competition TV show like The Taste or whatever it was where it's like just one bite.
Yes. Yeah.
I miss that.
But they have to balance the spoon as they hand it to you over the sneeze guard so the dressing doesn't drop.
So anyway, right, I didn't expect this to like launch such a discussion.
So this is called Can I Taste That Dressing?
Our listeners at home are going to be like, so Shannon and Scott just said they have limited time for this episode. And we've been talking about dressing samples for 45 minutes.
Yeah. All right, all right, all right. So what Scott is trying to get at is what we'll be doing in this episode is we're going to spin the salad spinner and get three random articles from Wikipedia. And instead of writing, spinning up a genre for each or like writing a song for each, we're going to write like a commercial jingle trying to sell each thing.
Yeah. So sort of like when we had our sponsorship in the past, we would write little jingles. So we're going to do that for these Wikipedia quote unquote products that we're trying to pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. In whatever style feels right, I guess.
But like, I want the jingle, like before we were writing a like little like four line song, but like, I right. want the jingles to be like jingles, like ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it.
Like, oh,
I,
like that, super that's, simple.
Yes. That's what I want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
Okay, great.
So are we going to do like a spin and a jingle, spin and a jingle, spin and a jingle, or three spins followed by three jingles?
Let's do spin and a jingle.
Hi, I'm spinning a jingle.
I'm spinning a jingle. Top of the morning to you.
All right, well, let's do our first spin. Do you want to do the honors?
Sure.
Wisconsin
Badgers women's volleyball.
All right.
Okay.
This is great. We got to write a little like promotional jingle for the sports team.
Yeah, that'll be fun. The Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball is the team representing the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the NCAA Division I women's program.
Cool.
Yeah. The Wikipedia article is like a lot of different information about different seasons. They really are only profiling whenever the team made the Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be like a particular like level of the tournament. So they've reached the Elite Eight 12 different times, starting in 1997, all the way up through 2001, last year. And the origins of the team date back to 1974. They've had 11 head coaches. Yeah.
They won last year.
They won the whole division?
They were the NCAA champions, first place, 2021.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so ranked number one, the Big Ten Conference.
How timely that we write them a jingle.
Excellent.
Their colors are cardinal and white.
Yep, beat me to it. Their head coach is Kelly Sheffield.
It looks
and
like
their home arena is the UW Fieldhouse.
Looks like they have a big red W is their like thing.
The logo?
Logo.
Cool. So I think, I mean, Big Red W is like a good, that's a good jingle.
Big Red W is pretty good.
Yeah. I'm going to look up a couple volleyball terms, but then I think I'll
you know
be able to come
terms.
Back. I know set. I know
bump.
Spike, bump, serve.
Ball. Net.
Women. Yeah. So they're called the Badgers, right?
They are.
Okay. So something with Badgers and some volleyball terminology, I think.
Okay. And I'm going to do a like sporty sounding jingle, like something you would hear on jock jams.
Yeah, nice.
Like, are you ready for this? One of those kind of things.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, cool. Shall we break and write quickly?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. I said I was going to keep it simple, and I did keep it simple.
Okay.
I incorporated what you said about Big Red W, the name of the team, and some volleyball terminology. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this? It's just Big Red W, Badger set, spike, kill. Kill shot. But like they have in the Wikipedia. Well, but that's what it's called.
Okay.
So they have in like in the they say in the 2001 entry, freshman Anna Smrek led offensively with 14 kills.
That poor team.
Jade Demps. 14 kills. Jade Demps had 12 kills. And Grace Loberg finished her career with 10 kills.
Wow. Just a bunch of murderers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big Red W, Badgers, set, spike, kill.
Cool. Well, I just put together, in anticipation of something short like this, a synthesizer, like a brassy synthesizer that sounds like the Jock Jams thing.
Amazing.
And just like a, you know, energetic drum beat. So I think I'll do like the sound of like a crowd cheering, and then like what sounds like a group of people chanting, singing this Big Red W thing. So should we do it?
That's great. Yeah, yeah, let's do it. I love the idea that this is like a thing that everybody in the stadium does whenever they like score a point or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those. Yeah, perfect.
Cool. All right, here is the Wisconsin Badgers women's volleyball jingle, Big Red W.
Big Red W, Badgers set, spike, kill!
All right, let's spin the salad spinner again and get our next thing we're trying to make a jingle for.
Let's do it. Jingle number two.
Here we go.
Kalinga
sculptures.
Chengamadu.
Chengamadu. Chengamadu. Chengamadu.
Okay. So, wait. Let me read this first sentence because I was like... With each word that comes, I'm like, where are we talking about?
Yeah, I know. This so, article seems like it's translated from another language. Like, it doesn't really follow English super well.
Kalinga sculptures are the sculptures kept in Chengamedu near Gangaikonda Cholaparam in the Udayarpalayam Taluk, Perambular district in Tamil Nadu, India.
There you go.
It's like, wait, how many more places are we going to go down?
I know. I feel like that sentence is like one of those like video representations of like from space zooming into the earth.
Yes.
Into like one like specific place. Except it like goes backward. I don't know. I just like...
Next
yeah,
to Ravita's house.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's incredibly specific. Okay, so these sculptures are a series of like half a dozen sculptures, I think, that were war trophies from the Chola kings. So the Chola dynasty was a Tamil empire of southern India. It was one of the longest ruling dynasties in world history. And that was like 3rd century BCE. So like a long time ago. So they brought a lot of like art after they conquered these lands, brought a lot of art and sculptures as war trophies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a ton of information really other than like they don't have like years necessarily that these like sculptures are from. It just says, you know, the temple that these are housed in says sculptures of Durga, Kali, and Bharavi found here were brought by, oh, here we go, Rajendra Chola I, 11th century AD, from the Kalinga right. County as a mark of his victory. These sculptures of red sandstone are excellent examples. And what they look like are Indian deities in like little, like almost like little altars, basically. So you can imagine like people like praying to them or in front of them or like putting like other offerings and like decorating around them.
The thing that's crazy about this is it looks like they're being kept in, like, a general store.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So there's a picture of the temple where they're being kept, but it does not look like a temple.
No. And they're just behind, like, some metal grates. And
these
are from the 11th century.
Yeah, and they're just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out there.
I mean, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're cool.
Okay.
I imagine, some of them have, like, clothing on them and stuff, too.
So
which obviously
write...
is not from the 11th century.
Right. I would think not.
Yeah.
Should we write a, like, a tourism jingle, like encourage people to go see them?
Yes, that's exactly what I think we should do.
Just head on down to...
Yeah. Oh my God, is that long?
If I could pronounce it, I would be all for that, but I think it would be a disaster.
I think it would be hilarious, but probably also offensive.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that, but
it's a good idea. Oh, that's really funny. What are some tourism jingles?
Well, there's like each state tourism board, yeah. Like there's commercials for like, you know, Virginia's for lovers kind of, you know, like that, yeah. Kind of stuff. There's like,
yeah, they
Disney.
Disney. Yeah.
Amusement parks always have good jingles.
Yeah. What's what's an amusement park jingle?
Isn't there, water country, the water park.
What's water country?
It's a water park, and that's their jingle. Hold on.
Okay, you gotta find this.
Water country.
When the sun is blazing and the summer gets hot, water country's a very cool spot. There's no better place to feel and be young. Water country, have some fun.
Plunge into Dr. Von Dark's Tunnel of Terror, coming soon. Now get a season pass, just $59.99, and get a Bring a Friend Day free. Hurry before the price goes up.
Water country, water country, water country. Have some fun.
Open daily.
Wow. Okay. Very specific. But yes, I think this is the feeling that we want.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So I'm going to put together some like upbeat, like summer jams.
Yeah. Great. I'll do like a little, like maybe like a slightly more extended sort of like setting the stage and then come on down.
Yeah.
Kind of
like,
thing.
Yeah. Literally can just be like a looking for a place to go. Well, come on here. Like kind of a thing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Let's do it.
Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready for my jingle lyrics?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I'm picking up on how the outside of this building looks like you should just be able to like buy a Sprite inside it. And it doesn't look like it's a chove. It's a temple.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be fooled by what's outside. These war trophies are worth the ride. Come see Durga and Kali too. Kalinga sculptures on view for you.
Hey.
Yay.
That's great.
Kalinga Thank sculptures. You.
I would yeah. go.
I might go.
So musically, I was listening to the Water Country ad again and noticed that there were three key changes. So I needed to incorporate three key changes into this Kalinga Sculptures jingle as well. And it's a little 80s inspired. It's like a little outdated to kind of like fit the outdated look of the temple.
Awesome.
It has that same feeling of like, you know, that song from South Park, where it's like, you gotta have a montage. Even
oh,
Rocky
yeah,
had a
definitely.
Montage. It kind of feels like that.
Cool. Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's very like 80s power, like energetic, like you could do calisthenics to it.
Kalingasthenics.
Kalingasthenics.
Yeah. All right. So here's our Kalinga Sculptures jingle.
Don't be fooled by what's outside. These war trophies are worth the ride. Come see Durga and Kali too. Kalinga sculptures on view for you.
Shall we spin and get our third and final jingle subject today?
A final taste of dressing.
Oh, God.
And then we choose which one we want on our salad.
We've dipped our fingers in three different little paper cups of dressing exactly. today.
Let's spin. Yes. Here we go.
Let's spin.
Tanucha
Garleppi.
Okay, this is a Wikipedia article where the title is in italics, which usually means it's a species of something.
Yeah, scientific name.
And Tanucha Garleppi is a moth.
It is indeed a moth. And that's the whole article. It's yep. Tanucha Garleppi is a moth in the family Eribidae.
Yeah, this is very classic song salad.
Classic.
To just go with a like articleless moth as a topic.
Yes. The family that it's in are in the superfamily Noctuidia. Yep. The family is among the largest families of moths by species and contains a wide variety of well-known macro moth groups. So I did a Google image search for Mr. Garleppi and
it... Signore Garleppi.
Signore Garleppi. This is a dumb show. it looks like it's not like a one of those big pretty moths with the sort of like patterny wings.
How dare you?
It looks, I know. Signore Garleppi is more like a bug. It just kind of looks like a bug. Though I will say that it seems like this type of moth has kind of a bright blue body and then sort of plain gray or brown wings. But the wings kind of like fold down, like they're not like big expansive wings. They're more, they're like thinner, almost like fly wings.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And clearly Italian.
Obviously Italian.
The only information that I gathered in addition here is that it was discovered in 1912. Did you say that? Oh,
okay. No, I didn't. All right.
So, an Italian moth.
An Italian moth is not Italian. Though I'm guessing that whoever discovered it, did you find this? Is the person who discovered it its last name Garleppi?
I don't know. I don't know if I can find that information out. Hmm. Oh, no. Rothschild.
Oh, I wonder why it's called Garleppi. I wonder what that means.
Don't know.
Anyway, what kind of thing is like the equivalent of selling a bug?
Yeah, what are we selling here? That's what I can't really figure out.
I mean, is there like a, like what's an Italian restaurant's like jingle? Is there like an olive, is there like an Olive Garden?
Your family kind of a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Or like a pizza place's jingle.
Yeah. I mean, there's the classic pizza pizza.
Is that a jingle?
It's like the closest thing I can think of to a jingle. Domino's doesn't really have a jingle.
No.
Like they're more slogans than jingles, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the same with Olive Garden, Sbarro. I was trying to think of like generic kind of bad Italian places.
You named them. Bertucci's.
I don't know if... Who?
Bertucci's was a pizza place where I grew up. Mm. Did we tell you about, tangent. On Stanley Tucci's travel show to Italy, he was talking about this restaurant, and he was like, one of the highest rated restaurants in all of Sicily today is I Pupi. And it was literally spelled I-P-U-P-P-I. And Megan and I laughed for days.
Yeah.
Days, I tell you. I Pupi. Especially the seriousness with which he brought it up. Like, Michelin stars will be awarded to this hot young chef at I Pupi.
Yeah. I love that.
Anyway, maybe let's get off the Italian angle and we'll have more ideas.
Yeah, I think the Italian angle isn't going to work.
So,
Can you use a moth for anything? Like, what could a moth be useful for?
Pets.
Pets.
How about a pet? Like chia pets. Chia. That's a jingle.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like...
Chinucha.
Exactly. Done. It's like the fad in like the 80s, early 90s of having like a pet rock or a chia pet. It's like, or like sea monkeys. It's a pet moth. It's same category.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything we can think of? So like the chia is a good one.
Do sea monkeys or pet rocks have jingles?
All the like pet store jingles I can think of are just like slogans. They're like Petco, where the pets go, you know?
Yeah.
What about Littlest Pet Shop? It was like Littlest Pet Shop, that's cool or something. I don't remember what the word was.
That's it was like, cool.
But it was like, I was gonna say that's who, but that doesn't Makes sense. Littlest Pet Shop. That's who.
What if we go with a little further, more broader with this, and it's just like a toy jingle? And then we could do something like Skip It, you know?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I did just look up a Littlest Pet Shop commercial from 1993. Let me see if it has the jingle in it.
I want a dog. I want kitties. I want a whole pet shop.
Who has the room?
The Littlest Pet Shop. That's who.
Every Littlest Pet Shop pet comes with a home of its own.
Who has meansy birds who flap their wings and gerbils who do tricks for you? Itty bitty kitties doing kitty things.
I was right.
Faithful puppies who play with too. The Littlest Pet Shop.
Littlest Pet Shop.
Littlest Pet Shop. Each pet comes with something special and a home of its own, each sold separately.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's who.
Yeah, shockingly, I did remember that it was Littlest Pet Shop, That's Who, but didn't remember the context of why that would make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Because they set it up with a who has the littlest kitty? Littlest Pet Shop, That's Who.
Who has the littlest kitty? The tiniest turtle?
Okay, so we're selling a children's like pet moth playset.
Yeah. Of course we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This works.
Yeah. Okay. And I want it to be a similar like little like setup kind of thing with that like little like payoff at the end.
Yeah.
Like totally. Almost like a question and answer sort of thing.
Great. Love it. And I'll put together more like, you know, childlike, fun kind of energetic sounds and song music to go with this.
I love it. All right. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm doing the question and answer. Okay. And I want you to imagine that this is like being advertised in the way that toys were in like the 80s and 90s, where there would just be like the final like shot of the commercial would just be like all of the accessories of the toy kind of like laid out on like a little, you know, like stage, and you would just sort of see it all. And then I think it would be like a little plastic terrarium that comes with like little plastic like twigs and branches and stuff.
Yep.
And moth. Like
and moth.
One little moth.
That maybe comes like freeze-dried, and you have to, like, freeze-dried? Well, like, cryogenically frozen. You have to bring it back to life to play with it.
Okay. Freeze-dried is a different thing. Yeah. Freeze-dried. And then I think there has to be, like, a little, like, kids' toy version of a porch light for the moth to, like,
circle around
and smack into.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I want you to picture. And here's the jingle. Who's the pet you're sure to regret? Garleppy the moth is your best bet. Batteries not included.
Okay. Garleppy the moth. So he Garleppy is Italian.
Garleppy the moth. Yeah. Why not?
I love it.
I think this will be really fun.
Yeah. I've got upbeat drums. I've got this sort of like funky guitar and synthesizer thing going on. And it's just, attention grabbing and will make little ears perk up.
That's perfect.
So here is our jingle for Sanucha Garleppi, the pet toy moth.
Who's the pet
you're sure to regret?
Garleppi the moth is your best bet.
Batteries not included.
We tasted the dressings. If you were to choose which one of these three to actually try and like pitch to an ad agency.
Oh my God, what a horrible idea that any of these would go in front of an ad agency executive.
I think my favorite is the sculptures.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the most realistic for trying to advertise something.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fair. I have a fondness in my heart for Garleppi the moth because I love the idea of a kid like turning on its little fake porch light in its terrarium and just watching the moth bonk itself like against the little plastic light over and over.
And then the parents that have to secretly order more moths every time one dies and try to like make the kid think that their moth is staying consistently alive.
Yeah, like, hey, maybe there's a reason.
You open the instructions and it's like, note to the parents, and like you look in the back and it's like, average lifespan, 1 week.
Like, yeah, probably. Probably. Oh my God. Just like, keep those moths coming. It's just a monthly subscription. A moth subscription.
Monthly subscription.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, stupid.
This was good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you everyone for listening to our very dumb episode idea, since we were trying to move quickly but wanted to still get something out for this week. I think it actually worked out pretty okay.
I think it's great. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. Fun little twist on the format.
Yeah, every once in a while it's nice to shake it up.
Yep. Shake up that dressing before you put it on your salad.
You can join us on Twitter at Song Salad Cast or in our Facebook group, Song Salad Podcast - the Produce Section, and let us know which flavor of dressing you would want on your salad this week.
Let us know.
Oh, good one.
You said it. Thank you, and we will be back in 2 weeks with another episode.
Yes, this is true. Thank you.
Until next time.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And this has been Can I Taste That Dressing?
Bon appetit.
1, 2, 3,
a bun podcast.
Oh.